This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
I discovered a group of people. I'm telling you guys, the biggest scum of earth today. And here's what I did. I picked up my lunch, and every time I pick up my lunch, I have to call a restaurant. So I just looked up the restaurant, and I don't know if you guys have ever looked into this or seen this or done it. I hope you haven't done it. But the restaurant was there. It's a place around the corner from my house. And then there was a comment section for people that comment on restaurants. Have you ever seen what these people write?
It's absolutely
dude,
outrageous.
They should be thrown in jail.
Outrageous.
I went down the rabbit hole, and I was like, yeah, not bad, but they forgot one little piece of bread and the bread thing.
Imagine wasting your life writing that on a message board.
Dude,
you know, got to give it 4 stars. Missed out on the second round of bread. Okay.
It's just a glorified version of Twitter, really.
Like, dude, yeah, no, this is another level where if they have one little thing wrong, they shouldn't be allowed. They shouldn't be allowed to do it.
There should be some sort of terrorist is a bit strong, but there should be some sort of filter, right? Like if you had a horrible experience,
You open the pizza box and there was no pizza in it. This place is a joke. But some of the stuff, I went down the rabbit hole and I just thought to myself, this can't even be real. Like this has to be a bot.
I love it. 4.7 stars out of 5.
Yeah.
You know, mint. Yeah. Didn't get a mint on the way out. It's like, really? You actually went back? But
dude, who writes that?
Well, it's people that realize they have power in their hands because it has completely changed the world of business. Talk to anybody that owns a business. Online reviews has completely changed everything. Everything. Yep. And it actually, you know what it is? It's probably a way for you to get something free in the future. And I hate to even throw that out there as basically admitting to this and putting it out into the universe because I feel like people are going to take advantage of it. But if you write a bad review of a small business, that owner generally will get back to you and say, how can I make it up to you? Can you please delete it?
Oh, right.
It can sewer a business.
Well,
it
how
really
many
can.
Times well, – I can't remember the app. It's the Stars app or whatever. Like how many they go through that. Like, how many times have you looked something up? Yelp, I think it is, or whatever. You look something up, and it's like, oh, this is rated 3 out of 5 stars. Why?
Yelp.
And
it's that's a sell. They're on Yelp.
It affects you, though, man. I've been there. I look at it, I'm like, yeah, 2 stars. It must not be that great. And it might be the best. It really might be a great spot.
You know why? You're listening to some idiot who wrote that. That's the problem is you're right. Sebastian Maniscalco, who's the famous comedian, he has a bit about people who write reviews on restaurants. He's like, who has the time to go out and eat and then go home and write a review?
That's
like,
the world we live in. Now we have all the time
Hayes
in the world.
I think it's what they're looking for a free meal. That's all they're doing.
Well, doubt, I'll bring it back to South Park, and I'm sure this is not in either of your wheelhouses, but I know it would be in Mullins. They did a brilliant, brilliant episode where Cartman, that's exactly what he does, and he's got all the power, and he gets free everything because he's worked out a system where he knows he goes to a place, sewers the spot, or threatens to. You know, hey, can I speak to the manager? I just want you to let you know I'm going home to write a Yelp review, and you're getting 1 star unless I get this. And I don't think it's that far from the truth.
It's crazy.
I think
people
realize that they have the power, and Amazon has changed it more than anything else, right? Like the Amazon rating process it's a different algorithm that has changed everything, the way you view everything, what is accessible to you, what pops up first. But I'm with you. I don't know how anybody, we've all had horrible experiences. I would never go home and write something on a review.
If it's that bad, maybe you just don't go back. But
don't ever go
right.
back.
Like,
old school. It worked for about 10,000 years.
Exactly. You want a crazy
school.
Amazon story? I wasn't going to bring it up, but two boxes arrived in the last 2 days, and it's been Paw Patrol toys. My 3-year-old has figured out how to order himself toys on Amazon.
No way. dangerous. Yeah.
He ordered himself two toys, two of the exact same toys over the last 2 days have showed up. And Steph's looking at me going, did you order? I said, I didn't order this. We went into the order history.
Would
and
you
this
give
kid,
that kid your credit card number? What the hell's
little
going
Bezos.
On?
No, there's that, the app. It's like buy now or whatever, and everything's already linked in.
If you're constantly logged on.
This idiot has ordered himself Paw Patrol toys. Two of them. I returned one, and in the explanation, I said my three-year-old went on the app and ordered himself a Paw Patrol $79 construction toy.
That's how Bezos got so rich, man. It's all three four-year-olds.
Let him keep the toy. Let's get to Ray. Let him keep one and send the other one back.
That's what I did.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Farrar. What's happening, Ray?
I'm just a little concerned about a couple of things here. One is your state after your Packers crashed and burned.
That would be one.
Yep. Two would be, Noodles. You've got to give some props to the actual execution of the purchase.
Of a three-year-old, going on the computer, going on and actually pressing like buy now, and then going onto the next screen and getting it delivered. I don't know how I missed the confirmation emails, but you know how you order so much sometimes that you're like you just.
It could have been crazy. So much worse, Noodles.
If he knows three numbers on the back of the card, he's the boss.
Awesome. He runs things. Think about how much worse it could have been, though. Noodles, a Buffalo
Ferrari
Bill
backing
pit.
Up on a Ferrari backing up on a flatbed the whole nine. Ray, we were just talking. Have you ever gotten home and written a review about a restaurant and posted it?
No,
never.
Not even thought of it.
If it's bad,
I'm just not going back.
Exactly.
Well, that's right. That's the way it's worked for 10,000 years. But, apparently that's the way people operate now. We're living in a very different world. And Noodle said it's kind of like Twitter, but it just stays out there forever. And you search for the restaurant or the small business, people are going to find it. And it really does affect their business, substantially. But anyway, we haven't really talked about the Leafs. We've been talking so much about football. We had Paul Maurice on in the last hour. We'll get back into the line idea and get your take on that. But I thought the Leafs, found one yesterday. And admittedly, there was a lot going on, so I wasn't watching every second of the game. But I think Sheldon Keefe was pretty honest post-game, where he said, we've played a lot of games, short period of time. This was a 2 o'clock start. Our backup goalie in net. Calgary hadn't played in a while, and we found a way to win. Regardless of how it looked, I think that's an impressive 2 points for Toronto yesterday.
Well, there was – it was pretty muddy yesterday, most of the game. It looked like both teams, but didn't have a lot of zip, like that there wasn't much to it. And Calgary'd been off for 5 days, which is probably too long. And then, Toronto, I think that was, 5-7 or 7-12 or something like that. And, the first four goals were all goofy kind of goals, right? Yeah. They were all deflected off something. One of them went off Campbell's at rear end and in the net. And the three Toronto goals, Wayne Simmonds couldn't score that goal again if he tried. the reverse bank off his own foot. But who cares? They won. They played well enough. You kind of evaluate what you've got in the tank, each guy, and they did just enough to win. And Campbell was great yesterday. He made some really, really good saves.
I thought he was, too. And you know what? You're right. I never criticize a win. A win is a win. It happens different ways. All three goals the Leafs scored were, situational goals, off a skate or whatever. They created their own chances. I thought Campbell was fantastic when he needed to be. He made a couple big saves in tidy battle. I thought he was cramping near the end of the game, so that was a bit of a concern for me because, honestly, I had flashbacks. I'd been there, done that. It's where you haven't played a lot, and then, your adrenaline's going, and you're maybe a bit dehydrated, but it looked like his left leg or groin or, knee or something was cramping up near the end. But he battled through and got the two big points, and now they battle again tomorrow.
And that's 2-0 for him, right? He started two games. He's got both wins. That's big. They need that.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Just think, Tuesday's game will be – I would be surprised if it's Wayne or played at a much more skillful pace and a faster game. But both teams will have that. But Toronto's already got one of the two in the bag this week, and so they're in really good shape. If you can get two out of there, that's a good team in Calgary. And that would be awesome if you could do that. But you already got one, and so if you're going to play an ugly game and you get to put the 2 points on your side, that's a good place to be.
Well, I was going over it earlier today because we discussed Kyle Dubas and what he's done and how he's built this team on a daily basis, it feels like, let alone weekly, monthly, and there have been things that he's missed on. That Kadri deal, he's not going to be able to get back, and that was a bad deal. They lost that deal. That's a deal that will stick around for a long, long time. I don't think the contract negotiations with the big three went great. Regardless of how they all played out, where they ended, they're still here, which is obviously a positive. But I'm not sure the team won, quote-unquote, any of those three negotiations at the time. But when you consider, other things that Dubas has done that I think he deserves a lot of credit for, one is he realized he had to address that backup goaltender. Like, he had to, and he went out there and he got Campbell. And Campbell looks like a legit quality backup goalie that is there for term. He always believed in Justin Hall. I'll admit I've had my reservations. I wasn't convinced he was a guy that could play every night, let alone up the lineup. I think he's looked pretty good. Like, he looks pretty solid as a number four. He's not a three. Not a two, but he's a four, and he's given you minutes, and he looks comfortable in that role. And he's brought in Brody, brought in Muzzin, brought in Tavares. That kind of fell in his lap. But if we're going to look at some of the things that haven't worked out for Kyle, I think you got to look at some of the things that have worked out pretty well. And those are just a few that have gone well for him so far and are paying off dividends right now.
Well, I can think of two things that kind of go along these lines. And Paul Maurice said after the trade was made, I'll take some of the heat for, or I'll take all of the heat, actually, he said, for line A and not that it didn't work out. And he said, but I also have to, you got to acknowledge that we've had a lot of other young guys that have developed, same coach. So you got to look at both sides of the coin. Now, I know you're probably pretty sour at Matt LaFleur yesterday, for kicking the field goal. But prior to that, he was a really good coach. Then he makes a decision, and now he's a really bad coach. There was a time not very long ago, Andy Reid was thought of as a guy that could never win. Can't win the big games. He's got good teams in Philadelphia. They can't win. Now they talk about the Andy Reid coaching tree, and man, what a creative guy. And like, there's both sides to it all, and it has to be looked at. And the same would be for what Kyle is doing in Toronto. There's been some things that didn't work out and haven't worked out. And until they can, get the ball closer to the goal line, which would be make the playoffs, win a playoff series, like, there's going to be criticism that goes with it. But there's lots of things that have worked for them. Another thing that's worked for him, I think anyway, is a player for nothing, and that's Ilya Mikheyev. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he looks like a legit third-line player that kills penalties, and man, he works hard, and he looks like he's an enthusiastic player, and they didn't pay anything for him. So that's a positive on his watch too. And right, that stuff all has to be balanced out.
I think he needs to continue shopping though too. Do you guys agree?
They need some depth. Injuries
are going to come, and that's not just reserved for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's like, it's going to trickle right through the league, and that's where your depth is going to be challenged. And I don't know if it's guys like Engvall or Barabanov and guys like that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Who are they going to go get though, Jamie? A guy that makes $400 a year?
No, you're right. Like, I don't know. Like, I saw Kristen Shilton throw it out there. Would he grab Ennis back on waivers from Edmonton? A guy who's on a value contract who's played a bunch of games in the NHL.
Okay, but Noodles, what if you had him on your taxi squad?
That's what I'm saying.
Look at what Montreal just did.
Right.
They had to dip into the taxi squad, and they're not getting me.
Right.
They're getting an actual player. Like, Frolik's there and Perry's there. You can put them in and with legit confidence say they're going to do the job for us. And
right.
So I got to say that's one of the most positive things that of all the moves that Montreal made and Bergevin made was, I think, understanding what this taxi squad could be about and knowing that if I've got to bring somebody into play, wouldn't it be nice if it's somebody with some experience?
Yeah.
And as opposed to, hey, maybe it's Engvall, maybe it's Barabanov, maybe it's Robertson for all, you know, Nick Robertson's potential. He's still a 20-year-old kid.
And it's not their fault that, you know, Thornton gets hurt or
nope.
Robertson gets hurt. That's going to be the challenge here. And that's where I think, you know, Paul Maurice, we just had him on. Your big boys are going to get it done if they're healthy. That's ultimately what you rely on. But depth is, especially when you're playing 6 games in 10 nights or 5 in 8. And you
well,
know,
he made that great point about minutes, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about process all the time. And Matt LaFleur, you know, trusting right. the process. And Kevin Cash, trusting the process. And it can be difficult in the moment. Maurice pointed out, he's like, there are shift lengths that you need to commit to because over the course of the year, it's going to pay off for you. It may not feel like it in the moment. But you don't want your big guys playing a million right. minutes. Like Mitch Marner, again, he's averaging almost 25 minutes a night. And he's a young guy, and he's got his legs, and he looks good. But if you
look at the forwards, man.
Yeah.
This year, not just Mitch.
Throughout the league.
Kopitar's at 24 minutes, and Matthews is up. Like, I'm really surprised with the number of minutes they're playing already.
There was a time where good forwards, if it was anything over 18 or 19, it was like crazy.
Well,
crazy.
You're right. Let me ask you guys this, though. And we should have asked Mo, but like, if it's a scenario where there's not
lies.
A lot of travel, he doesn't. Well, tell Ray the story, but if there's a scenario where you're playing back to back or you're playing, you know, 2 games in 4 days and there's not travel, you're in your own building, you're in your bed every night, you're not having to get in at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, don't you think some of this abbreviated travel will help, you know,
they can swing both ways, probably.
I think it will, but that's my point. I think there's starters that will be able to play back-to-back games because they play in their own building. They just go home to the bed that night. They're not battling through, you know,
customs or flights or whatever.
Exactly. Like, that type of stuff I think will help for the overall product. And if you got young legs, there might be a night that you – or many nights where you can get them more minutes than less.
Just there has to be a limit at some point.
Agreed. I agree.
And, you know, if you want to win 16 games come the end of the year, like, that's when the grind really starts up. And if you've basically wiped out all your gas during the season, I mean, that's going to be difficult.
Well, look at the Central Division. I don't know if you guys saw that note today with all the cancellations. Those teams are playing like 52 games in 104 days.
Yeah.
Like the whole division, because a bunch of games got wiped out,
yep.
right, and rescheduled. And you're like, man, those guys are – they can't play big minutes. Can they? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Well, I think you'll get some dog games, though, too. That's the challenge that
– It's the worst division, though, also, right? Like, the big boy – it's actually been – it's not going to be the end of the world for Tampa, who are still going to get in. You know, I think Carolina's probably going to get in. It's – You're right. There's going to be some awful games. But, like, Chicago, Detroit are in that division. Those two teams are terrible.
I watched them play yesterday.
Oh,
yeah, me too. I was waiting for the football. That's why I was watching them. Yeah. And you know what my first thought was? Damn, I'm sure not watching anything else other than the Canadian division. I felt like I was watching a game from the moon.
It's absurd, right? It's absurd. It's like the KHL, basically.
I was embarrassed because I had to go. I went on NHL.com and went on the notes because there were players I did not recognize.
Pierre Suter scored a hat trick. I never heard of the guy in my life.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, this is obviously a young guy who's been put in the lineup. I need to do more research because I was like, I've never heard of that player before. I've never heard of this guy. And you know, sure enough, it's a rebuilding team. You're cycling through stuff. But, like, that was where I felt like that game was being played on the moon because that was not in the NHL.
Two different leagues. Hey, yeah. Two different leagues. There's, like, the one in the States and the one we got up here.
It's
well,
crazy.
You know what's wild, though? If you look at the points leaders right now, just the top 10, eight of the top 10 are in Canada.
Yeah.
Eight of the top 10 in Canada. Yeah. Like, this will probably balance out, and, you know, by the end of the year, that's probably not going to be the case. But it
you know
says
my first
something
thought
about
was
play up here.
The exchange rate.
It's got to be.
That's why there's more points up here.
Only explanation possible. And I guess COVID hasn't affected anything up here for the most part, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah, but, knock on wood. Who was it that Was it Detroit that was playing down five players yesterday? It was one of those teams that were down
five
players.
Yeah, it was
players.
Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we didn't recognize names. It was guys from Taxi Squad that you're like, okay, that. But, yeah, you're right. Like, COVID, knock on wood, hasn't affected, for the most part, up north, other than, I guess, Winnipeg a little bit, Tucker Poolman, and Vancouver. T.J. Miller missed a little bit
missed
of time.
Three at the start, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
well, but what's the mood like out there? Montreal got Vancouver again on Saturday night. And
yeah, lots of joy out here, that's for sure.
Oh.
Man, they're... So, but there's also the balance of, you know, people saying, hey, it's early and all that stuff. What I think is there's been some, there was holes on this team that have gotten exposed by a very good Montreal team. Vancouver gives up more goals than anybody in the league right now per game. They gave up 11 high danger chances a game against Montreal. 11. Mm-hmm. Vancouver got three. So, I mean, they weren't just, you know, hey, here's a couple of shots. It was like a breakaway fest in those games. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of focus on Pettersson. And what I found interesting, I don't know how you guys played when you were in the last year of your contract, but it was not good for me. I stressed about, man, I haven't scored. And each time I don't score, it's, you know, I'm costing myself money and, you know, I want to get a longer deal. And so Pettersson's in the last year of his deal. So is Hughes. Pettersson just changed agents. That's a pretty significant change, as we know. But I wonder if he's worried about the wrong things right now. I wonder if he's just stressed about having to make that change and everything that goes with it. Because it's not just a guy. It's someone that you're friends with and someone you've worked with for quite some time. And now you're making a change. So, people are a little uneasy for sure.
He certainly looked like that the last game they played, right? He ultimately scored a tip-in goal from the point, but I had never seen him do some of the things he did on the ice. He coughed one up. He fell down. He was missing passes. His head is just not in a good spot. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but he was just not right the other night. I think he's worrying about the contract. I know switching agents would be a stressful thing, but he was doing goofy stuff. Like, I thought this year he was going to take charge and be thrown in as a top five centerman in the game, but he was in a different universe the other night.
Yeah, what I noticed, though, aside from the turnover, you mentioned it quick, was he fell down about three times.
Yeah, it was like weird.
In weird places, and I'm like, man, he's just not sharp, because that's not Elias Pettersson. That's not. And so the Canucks, they better hope that, you know, he can exhale a little bit, and him and Hughes can return to how they were last year. Because if they don't, they're gonna have a tough time.
Well, you look at his direct matchups in this division, man. He's got every night, more or less. You've got McDavid or Draisaitl, Matthews or Tavares, and now it's Scheifele or Dubois. Like, that's three teams with a 1-2 up the middle that, quite frankly, I think is better than Vancouver's right now. It doesn't have to be by the end of the year. I think clearly Edmonton's and Toronto's is better and will not be surpassed by Pettersson and Horvat. But you could make a case that Pettersson and Horvat could, you know, be right there with Scheifele and Dubois. But he's going to have every night, almost every night, it's like, oh, McDavid, he had 3 points. What am I doing? There's Matthews. He ripped home two. Like, maybe players don't look at it that way, but that's how the outside world looks at it.
Well, when you go up to take a face-off and every time you look across, it's somebody that's in the All-Star game, you know pretty clearly the guys you're playing against. And you're like, man, I got to be as good as that guy. And even Calgary, like, so you're going to play against Monahan or Backlund. Like, those are good players. Mm-hmm. Or Elias Lindholm, he's really good. And so maybe they don't have the name recognition, but there's not the easiest out would be in Ottawa, because they're in the state, you know, the stage of build they're in. But every night, it's like, it's good people you're playing against.
Dano and Suzuki are nothing to sneeze at either, the way
that
they play.
Suzuki looks like he's going to be a player.
Yep. Dano is a good player. Just no one talks about him, but he's a good player.
Yeah. I mean, Montreal's, like I say, they're more by committee and balance, but like, I think that Suzuki has a chance to be really, really good.
He looks. I know people are comparing him to Patrice Bergeron a bit. To me, he looks like Braden Point. like so similar to Point. And I think he's a hell of a player, man. He's just stable and steady, and man, he does a lot of things right.
So off to a good start, that whole team is. All right, buddy, enjoy the one game tonight. It's weird. There's one game in the whole league, I believe, tonight.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow it gets rocking again. So we'll tee up the Leaf game tomorrow, and we'll see where the rest of the week takes us.
If I could give one little quick plug to Ray and Dregs, check it out. We got Pierre-Luc Dubois on today. We talked to him earlier today. He was awesome. And some really, really cool stuff on kind of what went down and as much as he felt like saying, but also just what he thinks he can be in Winnipeg. It was good stuff.
Beautiful. All right, check that out, the Ray and Dregs podcast. Download it wherever you can find your podcasts, and we'll check that out. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5:05.
Awesome. Have a great day, guys.
There he is, the TSN hockey analyst. I was going to say the Ray and Dregs podcast. Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom remains open by appointment only, or you can shop and buy online at MapleToyota.com. The receive rates from 0%. Marcellus Wiley on Matt LaFleur deciding to kick instead of going for it on fourth down yesterday. Any merit to what Rodgers had to say postgame? How do you stop Mahomes? There's a lot to get into with Marcellus. We'll do that. Al's Brothers power rankings in about 45 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Al's Brother on the clock in about 35 minutes. Lots of anticipation. Lots of anticipation. The All-Canadian
Division.
I think
he's just going to blow it up today. Sponsor everything after this one.
I wouldn't be surprised. He walks it like Garth Algar. He's decked out in Reebok head to toe. And he just admits, I didn't want to sell my soul, but I had to. Can you imagine he is decked out in gear? And yeah.
With a hard hat with two beers on the side of it, with a, like just a sponsor in the front. Like, yeah. It's going to be dynamite. Just,
he'll sell his soul for this, and I don't even blame him. So we'll get to that in just over half an hour. It was, you know, a couple of ball games yesterday. That Packers-Bucks game was a really high-quality game, intense in the fourth quarter. We haven't talked a lot about the Bills. It just wasn't their moment, man. Like, Mahomes showed up to play. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, you got to pick one or the other, and whoever you pick, the other guy's going to burn you. Just wasn't their time. And to chat about it, we're joined now by longtime NFLer from FS1, Marcellus Wiley. I guess we'll begin there because that's your former team, the Bills. You were hoping that they'd show up, but that just looked like the moment was too big for them. And Mahomes was there to play, and if he's rolling, I don't know how you beat that Kansas City team.
Yeah, I was rooting. I was hoping that the Buffalo Bills would be ready for that moment. But realistically, I didn't expect them to be ready. I thought they would hang in the game, and they did hang in the game. But that said, we just witnessed literally growing pains right before our very eyes. I remind everyone that Patrick Mahomes lost his first AFC championship game, like we just saw Josh Allen lose his first AFC championship game. Josh Allen went out there and had 58% completion percentage. Patrick Mahomes, in his loss, had 51%. Now, Patrick Mahomes also had some good moments in that game, but it was a growing pain experience where you go into the offseason and you start to reflect and you start to think about how you're going to approach the season differently next year. And you're talking about the Buffalo Bills. They're a 13-win team. Can't get much better in terms of record. But in terms of performance, you can certainly play a different type of ball. And most importantly, what I think we learned from Tom Brady and his exploits in Tampa Bay is you could come in with a different belief, a different level of confidence. And I look forward to the Buffalo Bills continuing to improve in terms of the physical aspects and the talent on their roster, and more importantly, how they perform and how they believe in that same performance.
You can give Allen some more confidence or belief in what he does, but if he's going to get to the promised land, Marcellus, Mahomes is always going to be there, and it's like he's not exactly 40 years old. He's in his prime. Like, Allen's got to be thinking, I got to figure out how to beat this dude, because if I'm going to get to a Super Bowl, he's there, and he's going to be there for a long time, and it's I got to go through him if I want to get to the ultimate prize.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I've seen it play out before. Let's go back to my original rivalry, which it felt like, was Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady when I was playing. And Tom Brady, obviously, in his first year as a full-time starter, wins the Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning had been in the league since 1998. He didn't win an AFC championship game in 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. People were like, yo, when are you going to get over the hump? He finally did in 2006. The point is that you know that there's going to be a dragon to slay if you're going to be great. And if Josh Allen really wants it, he certainly possesses the ability to slay even Patrick Mahomes and his greatness. But expect this rivalry to be similar to what we saw with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in terms of to get to the ultimate prize, you got to go through each other. Yeah. And I look forward to that. But I'm not going to discount what the Buffalo Bills may do in terms of imagination and going forward. But the reality is Patrick Mahomes and these guys are full of confidence. They have the accomplishment of a Super Bowl championship last year, and they're here to stay. Doesn't mean that they're always going to get their way, as Peyton Manning found out after years and years of work, that you still can slay that same dragon.
Where are you at with the play called by Matt LaFleur to go for three instead of giving the ball to Rodgers?
I think I'm where everyone else is what the hell was he thinking?
Thank you.
Pretty obvious. I mean, there are only two ways I attack any argument, any situation in terms of sports. It's through the numbers or through logic. So by the numbers, it made no sense because he was still stuck at a 5-point deficit and you still needed a touchdown. So the numbers didn't add up. And by logic, it made no sense as well, because if you study the game, and no one is Elias Sports Bureau and knowing every single moment that has occurred in NFL history, but I found this stat fascinating, that 66 teams have been in fourth and goal situations inside the 10-yard line with under 2 and 2.5 minutes to go in a game. And 65 of those teams went for it on fourth down. What the hell are you thinking that you're the one? That you're thinking that we're going to be the ones that go out there and win this ball game because we're outside of 2 minutes and we still have all our timeouts. But more importantly, by the logic, you deflate the Green Bay Packers team. You deflate your own stadium. Because if I'm a player on that team, I'm like, coach doesn't believe that we can score right now. And more importantly, we have to score right now because we need the points. A field goal is not going to help us in this situation. So it didn't make any sense by the numbers or the logic or even historical perspective.
With Marcellus Wiley. So I don't tend to put a lot of, you know, faith and weight into post-game comments, especially highly emotional outcomes like the one we saw yesterday. But we're diving into it with Rodgers, where he issued a statement along the lines of, who knows about my future in Green Bay? And immediately all the insiders in the NFL jump on it. Maybe he wants out. Maybe he's going to go out. Where do you stand on the thought process of Aaron Rodgers, considering everything you just said and everything we've talked about for the better part of a year in terms of his relationship and the Green Bay Packers?
I think he was emotional in the moment, and there's a part of him that really wants to leave. But unfortunately, by his contract and the circumstances, he's not going anywhere. One, he doesn't have a no-trade clause in his contract like Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun Watson, in part, some of his bravado and courage right now is because he gets to dictate terms. He gets to pick where he goes if he goes anywhere. Aaron Rodgers can't do that. So already the onus is on the organization to support Aaron Rodgers in trading Aaron Rodgers. You think this organization is going to trade Aaron Rodgers and then trade him to a contender, trade him to an NFC team that's going to help beat his own Green Bay Packers, or trade him to an AFC team where you can't go anywhere and contend? Let's break this down. He's not going to the Rams, the 49ers, or the Saints that all need quarterbacks, they say, or want to trade their quarterback, or they're just poking around at the quarterback position. Those are all three contenders that there's no way the Green Bay Packers support another organization beating the Green Bay Packers. So let's go to the AFC. Oh, is he going to go to Kansas City? Nope, Patrick Mahomes. Is he going to go to Buffalo? Nope, Josh Allen. Is he going to go to Baltimore? Lamar Jackson? Nah, I don't think so, but maybe. Tennessee? Nope, not going there. Ryan Tannehill, but maybe. He's not going to beat anybody even if he goes to Cleveland. So the point is, where can you go? But more importantly than his contract is the fact that they already told you, Aaron, don't try and beat us to the punch of breaking up with you when we're already going to break up with you in a year or two. We drafted Jordan Love for a reason.
So our plan is to have your succession in place. And it's happening on our schedule, not your schedule, Aaron Rodgers. And we're not going to help you go somewhere that's going to make that team better than us. So there's no way he can make it happen the way he wants to make it happen. So I think when cooler heads prevail, he'll be right there in Green Bay with the third or fourth best team in the NFL the last 2 years, trying to make it work and close that gap.
Yeah, I think they have to bring him back. I mean, even if he wants out, even if he proposed that idea, Matt LaFleur is he's on thin ice in Green Bay to begin with. That's crazy considering he's been with the team for 2 years and they've been to the title game in the NFC 2 years in a row. But with everything that happened yesterday, the way they got smoked against San Francisco last year, I'm sure he's dealing with some PR blowback right now. And if you ship out Rodgers, I don't know if you can ever recover from that. I think he's smart enough. I think the new GM there is smart enough to know that they can't do that. But we brought up this decision or this conversation earlier, Marcellus, and I'd be interested to get your take on it, considering everything you just said about where the power and the leverage currently stand in that relationship. When Brady went to Tampa, he basically got everything he wanted. He wanted them to acquire Gronkowski. They did. He wanted them to sign Antonio Brown. They did. He wanted basically carte blanche to call whatever he wanted to call. He's got it. LeBron James has been doing that for a long time. He says who stays, who goes, what he wants in terms of a contract, who he wants in terms of a coach. Does Rodgers have that ability, if he's staying in Green Bay, to at least force them to go, quote-unquote, all in and try to win a Super Bowl over the next 2 years?
No, he doesn't, for various reasons. One, in those situations, LeBron James occupies part of his power because of his greatness, but part of his power because of his freedom. Being a free agent, signing short-term deals. Every year, it seems like LeBron James is up, but they finally extended him in L.A. But the point is, you use that freedom to have leverage. Tom Brady wasn't traded to Tampa. He was a free agent. He went to Tampa. So, Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to be able to become a free agent. You're under contract, so you don't even start at the same leverage. Forget how good you are. It's just you can't even dictate terms. Beyond that, even if he were in a situation where he had that power, it's not in Green Bay, because Green Bay doesn't have an owner. It has ownership. And it's like 47 board of governors and the community ownership. So it's not even you're talking to one person fully. You're talking to an ownership group that is different than every other team in the NFL. And if he were able to find a way to get somewhere else, wherever he would land, he may have full power, but then he doesn't have a roster that is going to contend. So, man, there's an old saying in our locker rooms, you stuck on stupid. Like, it's not a slight to Aaron Rodgers. Just like, dude, wherever you go, there you are. And I don't see Aaron Rodgers in the same starting point as Tom Brady or a LeBron James. Certainly not the same outcomes in terms of team success and championships. And being real, because he's under contract with a no-trade clause, oh, man, I hate to say it, but Aaron Rodgers is stuck, brother.
Well, you look on the other side of the field yesterday, and it's not like Brady played anywhere close to a perfect game. It was, I thought, very similar to what he did in New Orleans a week ago and even in Washington a couple of weeks ago. But he did enough. That defense is legit in Tampa. He set the tone on that first drive. You know, three different times they were on third down. He converts on all three. He throws that bomb to Mike Evans, sets the tone 7-0 before Rodgers even touches the ball. That throw right at the end of the first half was a brilliant throw. And I think there was a subtle play that I'm sure you caught and would appreciate. Third down before they kicked that field goal, he just got rid of it to avoid a sack and losing any yards. And that was a savvy play. Throw three up, make it an 8-point game. And or make it, I believe, an 11-point or 8-point game at that point, and force Green Bay to go down the field and score and put up a 2-point conversion instead of being a hero. I thought he did just enough, and that's probably going to be enough until you reach Mahomes in 2 weeks. So based on what you've seen out of Brady, what has to happen for him to step up in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks?
The first thing is he can't turn the ball over against the Kansas City Chiefs, because that's just another opportunity, another possession in a game of possessions that you can't give that electric offense any more opportunities than they're already given. One. Two, If you look at it, he needs to get Antonio Brown back. You just need all your weapons. People forget no Antonio Brown yesterday. People forget no Antoine Winfield Jr. yesterday in their secondary. So both sides of the ball can improve with this two-week hiatus. Then also Tom Brady has to do what he does best. And I've been on record saying that people, since they don't see Tom Brady's greatness in terms of immeasurables, intangibles, that they don't respect it. Like, we only count the things in sports that we can see. And the things we don't see are the things that count the most. And Tom Brady, just the air he breathes, and Bruce Arians even said it. He said, this is all about one man. This is all about our team believing because of one guy in Tom Brady. This team, this organization had three straight losing seasons. Eight of the last nine losing seasons. Hasn't been to the playoffs since 2007. And all of a sudden, one dude shows up and everyone believes in himself. Now, the belief is strong because Mike Evans didn't have a better year than he did last year. Chris Godwin didn't have a better year than he did last year. Like, a lot of guys didn't have personal record years. But as a collective, they had their best year so far. And that's what Tom Brady brings. He's that cherry on top. So Tom Brady, on top of not having any miscues, major turnovers, he also has to be Tom Brady, which is make everyone believe, no matter what the circumstances, we can still achieve.
Well, we got 13 days to get to the big game. We can't wait to break it all down, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll do this again next Monday. Thank you for this.
All right, brother. Take care. Let's do it.
You got it. There he is, Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer. Always brings a different look. He is love catching up with Marcellus every week.
Yeah, and we didn't have time to get into it, Hayes, but I wanted to just throw in a little tidbit near the end. Would you have gassed my guy Stafford in Detroit if that was your – like, would that be your first transaction? I know it's not on the priority list with all the big games and whatever, but I thought that was newsworthy, man. Their first decision that they made was Matthew Stafford's out as the guy in Detroit.
Yeah, I need to know more about that because the way it was phrased suggested it may have been a two-way street.
Like, yeah, they mutually agreed.
Yeah, and it may have been a little bit more Stafford saying, you know what, I don't need to be biting kneecaps off here, and I've had enough. I've been here for 13 years. We suck, and I don't want to be here anymore.
But he's got a monster deal, doesn't he?
He does. So that's going to be a sneaky little maneuver because the focus will be on, you know, what's going to happen at the draft where the top two picks are going to be quarterbacks. There's a chance three or four of the top 10 are going to be quarterbacks. And what's going to happen with some bigger, flashier names like Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, Deshaun Watson being out there, even Cam Newton's a guy who's won an MVP and been to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And someone's going to sneak in there and be like, I'll take Stafford and put him in a situation where I think he can win, and it's going to be all on him.
Right.
Right? Like, if you play in Detroit, you always have the backing of, well, it's the Lions. You know, like, they're a joke. They suck. What do you want me to do? What if, like, Belichick picks him up? You better win with Belichick as your coach. You know, and some – I think the pressure is going to be on Stafford when he gets out of there.
Maybe that's what he needs, though, instead of that just – the weight on his back of the Detroit sucks, we suck, I'm a part of this sucking. Like, it's just
I don't blame him. Yeah. I'd want out too. I would. The 11th annual Bell Let's Talk Day is January 28th this week. We can all play a role in creating positive change. Join the conversation through calls, texts, and on social media. Let's help break last year's record. Al's Brothers Power Rankings in the next half an hour. Back into the NFL as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Matt Chatham will join us in the next hour as well. We'll get back into the NFL. Al's brother, want to touch on the end of the Leaf game last night and a bit of a prediction on what I see happening tomorrow night. I kind of feel like either Bogosian or Simmons, they're going to challenge Tkachuk tomorrow night. I don't know if he's going to go. If I was him, I wouldn't go. But I feel like this is the first example of the new Leafs that stick up for each other and don't put up with anything because, you know, he was sitting on his back, which –
I don't think it was ridiculous, though. Like,
I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
At the end of the day, Matthew Tkachuk, he's one of our favorites on the show. But if you want to just look and isolate the play, it's not like he tried to avoid the goalie. He fell on top of him, and he did what he did. And it's just like the other night where Myers hit Armia and got suspended one. Or he didn't even get suspended. But you know what? They
Edmondson
went and warm up. And Edmondson went up and said, look, you're going to give me one here because you're not doing that. And that's the code of conduct. So it wouldn't shock me one bit if Wayne Simmonds in warm-up said, look, we're going to get this over with. That's just what's going to happen here.
Yeah. If I was Kachuk, I wouldn't do it. But I fully expect
no,
one of
I wouldn't
guys
either.
To
no.
challenge
him. You know, Wayne Simmonds is not Tony Twist from the 90s either. Like, I would expect somebody else to step up. Like, Wayne Simmonds isn't a heavyweight.
Well, who the hell is he going to be, Jamie?
Well,
yeah, he's not, but he's not. I don't know if Kachuk is dying to fight him. Like, that's not. He's not.
I know,
soft.
But like, okay, if all Lucic has to go is I can mouse skate over there and. Like,
that's true.
Simmonds
that's probably
want to
not
fight
something
Spook.
He wants to take.
Exactly.
On.
Like I think he's got to be careful with that. Like, I don't think Simmonds is a guy who's a heavyweight. I think he's more of a middleweight who's a gamer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would. You can't. Not many guys in the league can match Lucic. I mean, there aren't many teams who could. And, you know, if Lucic wants to do that, he might. You know, he might step in, but that didn't happen with Cassian, right? Like,
it was. You're right. No, Matthew, I think, could fight his own battles.
Well, I think he probably can. And I, you know, we'll pick up on this in the 6 p.m.
Yeah,
hour.
Let's talk about it later.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.